Man, this
what
is
made,
a,
what made you name it that?
Well, so I became a partner in it.
Oh, okay.
So it was already established, and I became a partner in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim Weed.
So this is the second time we sat down to
it
talk.
It is. Exactly. Yeah.
So what's new? What's new in your life right now?
Oh man, I guess the first time we talked, had I had a transplant then?
Yeah, no,
it was before the transplant.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a while. A whole lot of
stuff
happened since the last time I sat down with you. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a pod. Man, that was when I did the very first kind of like version of my podcast, and I didn't stay consistent with it. And then since, I'd say the last 2 years, I've been very consistent with this one.
Yeah, you're making headlines now.
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing good.
Yeah, you're making headlines.
It's good. So. But I really wanted to have you on again, obviously, because I'm super interested in your story, and I just think you have so much to share. And I know for a fact, as far as the fitness industry goes and the community goes, you had a very like massive impact in the way that like it was shaped from the beginning, you know, like along the lines when I was making videos 8 years ago, you were making videos, I don't know, 9, 8 years ago. And you kind of, in my opinion, in my perspective, you kind of shaped a little bit of a whole kind of genre in a sense.
Oh, appreciate it.
And I guess I wanted to ask you, I don't know how much content you see nowadays or how much YouTube you watch or how much you know, are involved in general in like the fitness space. I know I saw you at the expo, but what's your perception of it now as to what it was when you were doing it?
Oh man. I think now it is one-upmanship is ruling the day.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to be a little more outlandish than the next person. And nobody's really original anymore. Yeah. You know, simple, but there are a lot of people trying to, I see a lot of one-upmanship, and but the originality, like when we were, you know, 8, 10 years ago, everybody was distinct. Bradley Martin had his distinct way of doing things.
Yeah,
C.T. Fletcher had his distinct way of doing things. You know, the guys with Michael Hearn, everybody, you know, there's no confusion. You know, well, if you like what Bradley's talking about, you watch Bradley. You want to see something different, you go over and watch CT. See something. And now, everybody's, you know, you see people hanging from the top of the ceiling in the gym and doing backflips and setting yourself on fire.
Yeah.
Just trying
I feel like I caused a little bit of that with the kind of content I made.
So you're to blame.
I feel like I'm a little bit to blame with the whole, like, because I got caught up, I know personally, after filming a lot of YouTube content, when I really started filming a ton of Instagram stuff, it was that sort of like, I'm gonna one up this sort of like visual wow factor.
Yeah.
And you definitely got to a point where people just started doing everything in the gym.
Everything.
But so your perspective of it now, and I kind of agree too, is like, I guess because there's so many people doing it now and so many people want to do it, They look at just what it's done and they go, oh, I'm going to copy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. You know, what I think is allowable and what is frowned on by the powers that be is totally ridiculous. You know, I'll get a message from Instagram saying, you know, if you do this again, we're going to kick you off Instagram. And all I'm saying is, and then I look at, you know, some of it, and people got the crack of their ass on, you know, but they're squatting on a couch and, you know, doing all kind of weird. But if I use profanity, which I've been doing ever since I've been on social media, you know, they threaten to kick me off.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. I mean, I made a comment, I don't know how many months ago, on a UFC, like, video where a guy was fighting someone, and I wrote animal, like he's an animal because he was fighting, right? And I got some like restriction because I wrote animal, and I even was like reviewing it, and I was like, this is not even a bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm not like calling this person, you're an animal. I'm saying they're like they were fighting at a high level. Wow, I was a beast, you know.
Yeah,
but it is weird.
Most fighters would take that as a compliment,
right?
You know, he's a fucking animal.
And I sent it in for review. And I don't even know if they actually have people looking at these things or not. And they just go, we reviewed it, it's still bad.
Yeah.
So it is weird because there is a lot of, it takes a lot of, the, I think, the genuineness out of the content. And I think it's weird because to be successful, I think now, like to be like lasting successful, you do have to be genuine. So it kind of, it's like this, what do you really do then?
Yeah.
If you have to constantly censor you, what you say, how you speak and what you do, it's just weird. And then, like you said, the other things that are allowed are like, girls can show every part of their body. Everything, and, you know, man. There's certain people that can do crazy shit. It's like, okay. And there's other people that aren't. I just wonder if it's like, what's the point of all the, I don't know, control on what we're able to do.
I'm wondering, you know, who's making these decisions, because certain things that you would think were totally unacceptable are, you know, no problem. Don't bat an eye at that.
How do you think it's affecting like people, right? Because at the end of the day, like you grew up in a completely different generation than I grew up in. Yeah. How have you seen like the kind of world change in relationship to social media? Because obviously you were a part of it, like I said in the beginning, in this specific niche, but also kind of at the inception of when YouTube started to become really like a, it was popular before, but it was like the first iteration of people who were influencing others. So how have you seen it shift? Because it's been about like 10 years now. How have you seen it shift to like affect people?
Well, I see people being affected. A lot of them are just, it doesn't, wild or what we considered wild stuff back then is, you know, you scroll past it.
We're like
it's
numb.
No big deal. Now they're becoming numb.
Yeah.
So the more, that's why the absurdity level is rising so high.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, you know, what used to be is nothing now. You know, people go sleeping on that. You got to, what? I seen this guy, set himself on fire and drive through a plate glass window. You know, what, you know, it's just, I got to top you. I got to be, nobody just wants to stand flat footed and tell the truth.
Yeah. Where does it, and see, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a, it just becomes a place where, I don't know, people are just taught to copy or taught to mimic or taught to do something crazy. And I think people are getting further and further away from like the shit that really matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's weird. Cause then you have this other side of it where like, there's a whole other aspect of, you've seen I've seen jokes where like someone will be like going on TikTok in like 2023 and it's like, don't eat this cause this is bad. And then don't eat that cause that is bad. Like everything's bad. And it's like, it just, there's so much information. It's like, how do we decide what is really useful for us?
Yeah, that's a damn good question, because everybody's an expert.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's an expert, man. No. For 30 years, you've been doing it this way, and all of a sudden, you find out it's bad for you. You know, don't do behind the neck presses, because they'll shoulder.
I think they work.
I love them.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have the audacity to not give a damn if an expert said that they're bad for you. Because, you know, like I said, been doing them 50 years and I love them. I'm still going to do them. And that's what people need to do. You know, if you like something, you can't be so easily swayed by the popular decision of the day.
Yeah. Why do you think that's so easy, though, for people? I think people just like to follow. Like
Oh, wow. Well, he sounds intelligent.
Yeah.
He must know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That sounds feasible to me.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest misconceptions you think there are in the fitness industry right now?
Wow. Biggest misconceptions, I think, right now is that everybody, you know, can be an influencer. And everybody, you know, has what it takes to be Bradley Martin. And that's bullshit. Everybody doesn't have what it takes to be Bradley Martin. And if there's so many people, and I'm sure you get the same thing, that hits you up every day on the day, man, if I could just get in front of the people, if you could just help me get exposed to the people, if they could just see me, Bradley, I would be, you know, I could make it, man. I want to do what you do. And if I just could just, if you could just put me out there.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it ain't so. It ain't true. It is not true. Everybody can't do it. You know, I do my absolute best to help as many people as I possibly can and put them out there. And not ask for anything in return or seek for anything. No, now you got to be going to give swear oath of loyalty to me for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
No, I put them out there because they really feel like if they were just given the opportunity to be seen, that would be it. They'd be instant stars and they'd be, you know, on the fast track and kicking back. Yeah. And have a beautiful home like Bradley Martin. And, you know, eat cake and ice cream every day, man.
Why do you think it's not that simple?
Definitely not that simple. People have a detector built in. And if you're full of shit, people are going to know it. And yeah. They'll be able to spot it. They can tell you if you have no authenticity, no realness, and you're just a copycat. And they say that imitation is the purest form of flattery. I think it's the purest way to let everybody, people know you personally are not.
Yeah, I love it.
I personally don't have a thing about me that people would want to see, but I can imitate the out of this guy over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they'll, you know, but me personally, I don't got going on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to imitate the out of Bradley Martin and, you know, maybe you'll like me because you like him.
Yeah. That's so accurate. That's so accurate. Well, I guess it's just because people just see what works and they go, well, if it works for them, it'll work for me.
Yep.
But the thing in it all is always the same concept where it's like the person who it's working for, likely they're not doing it just so it's working. It's doing it because, like, that's just who they are.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, hey, CT, I remember when they first came to the gym and told me that I went viral. I didn't even know what viral was, man. Yeah. I never heard of that term. What do you mean viral?
Because when you started, you were how old making YouTube videos?
53.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Nowadays, as kids is like 19, 18, yeah. 17 making YouTube videos. So, yeah, go ahead.
I was 53 years old when I first got on YouTube. And all the crazy workouts and stuff that I was doing with all these guys, I was 53 years old. Definitely not an overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people, how did you do it? Hell, I don't know. You know, I told him during the first video I ever made, hey, if you don't like what I'm saying, turn the mic off. I don't give a
Yeah, you're just real.
Yeah, I meant it. You know, yeah. I had no idea you could make a nickel on YouTube. I didn't even know what YouTube was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just being myself. And when he said you went viral, CT, I'm like, is that a good thing? And when he said, hey, you could possibly make some money, I'm like, it is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the very first thing you went viral with? Was that I Command You to Grow?
No, it was the Strongest Man You Never Heard Of.
Oh.
Yeah, Strongest Man You Never Heard Of.
And so let's because we talked about this before, but, you know, it's obviously been some time since then. Let's talk about your come up, like your story, like where you were. I know you're born in Compton.
I was raised
in Compton.
Yes, raised in Compton, born in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you moved out here, what was your life like?
It was totally different because when, you know, I was a very, very small, when I came over from Arkansas, my mom, me and my brother, we came on a bus and we had to ride in the back of that bus because, you know, and still early 60s,
yeah,
it was still, you know, like that down south.
Yeah.
So we come here and it was like moving to a different world. It was, at that time, we moved to Watts first.
Yeah.
And then moved to Compton, and it was Chocolate City, man. It was nothing but folks looked like me, you know. And,
but from Arkansas, it was complete different.
Yeah, big time. It was different. They still had signs on the water fountains, white only, entrances, white only. And we moved to, Compton, and it was a whole different, yeah, man, that, you know, it was a whole different ball game there.
Yeah.
So we got used to it pretty quick, though.
So did you grow up without a father?
No. I had a father.
Yeah.
My dad was a Pentecostal preacher, worked at the post office, and he was a Korean War veteran. So he was a lot of stuff. He was there, and he was, the environment I grew up in was very violent and military-based.
Yeah.
So when I went in the Army, I had no problem saying yes, sir, no, ma'am, because I was brought up like that.
How long were you in the Army for?
Just 4 years, and I got the hell out.
Wasn't for you?
Yeah, no. I did my term, and it was time to go.
It's just funny. I think your content, it kind of reminds me of like a drill instructor back in the day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where I got my training style from, from the military. Yep.
In growing up in Watson and in Compton, did you ever experience anything that was like, this, you know, sketchy?
Yeah, I guess you'd say it's sketchy. I'll never forget the first time I had a gun pulled on me. I was in ninth grade. And believe it or not, Bradley, it was over a girl.
Well, that's I feel like that's common, though.
Yeah, yeah. Ninth grade, though.
But what happened?
Like, what? It's so funny. I'm walking to class one day. You know, I'm ninth grade. I was eighth grade. Yeah. Girlfriend's in ninth grade.
Got it.
So I'm dating an older woman.
Yeah.
And I go to class, and we used to walk to class. I walk into her class every day. And one day, instead of me walking into her class, I see this other guy walking my girlfriend to class. And I go, hey, what the hell is going on here? And she says, hey, we just friends. Don't worry about it. It's no problem. We just friends. It's all right, but do this no more. You know
what I mean? Yeah. Well,
so next day, hey, same dude walking my girlfriend to class. Hey. And goddamn it, I let it go yesterday, but somebody finna get ass whooped. And she goes, well, it is exactly what you thought it was, and I like him now. Oh. So I said, I could have, being not very understanding.
Yeah.
I said, I'm gonna whoop your ass to the young fella.
Right, right.
And he said, I said, Ace, after school, I'm you up, right? So I get out there after school. I'm telling all my friends all day. After school, back gate, I'm finna whoop this ninth grader's from eighth grade. So we go out there after school, everybody's gathered around. Ooh, it's gonna be a big fight.
Man, I miss those days.
Oh, it's
different now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it changed right on the spot because up until that moment, it was still fist fight.
Yeah.
Fist fight, somebody get a black eye and go home, you know, bust your lip. Whatever. You had a fight.
Yeah, it's what
no
it is.
No problem, you know.
Yeah.
Either it helps build your reputation or it can fuck your reputation up if you get your whoop.
Yeah.
But anyway, I get out there. I'm going to do my thing. You know, I'm going to show this girl. Yeah, well, you know, he may be prettier than me, but I'm finna whoop his So I'm getting ready to go. And it's some other cat standing around in the circle. This guy had a beard. His beard was longer than yours in the ninth grade. And he said, he pulls out a 32. He said, hey.
To you?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're not the cat that I'm supposed to be fighting, he goes, if you run, I'm a kid. And you know, he read my mind because I was finna take off as soon as I seen the 32.
Yeah.
I was finna get up out of there. And he said, if you run, I'm a kid. I go, oh, God damn. And then the guy that I'm supposed to be fighting comes up and he says, yeah, he's talking all that shit about he gonna kick my Well, I'm a West Park boy and we gonna play there. I'm what the fuck is West Park? You know, man, you mean the park we've been playing with since I was five? So all of a sudden, this park that we've been playing in since we were kids has a gang.
Yeah.
And it's the West Park boys. And I go, oh, what the man, what did I say? Look, man, I just thought we was going to fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't know I was shooting and all this. You're going to kill me? You can have her. You can have her. And you know, he was okay with that. You know, and I was okay with him not killing me.
Yeah, of course.
So that was it.
Have you ever had any moments like that in your older years?
With guns? Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the first time, like I said.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on, I had an older brother named Walt. Who Big Walt was something else, and he got into a lot of things, and he would sometimes get me involved in some of the things that he was doing that weren't quite on the up and up. And I had to, you know, a few more gun-related incidents with Big Walt.
Yeah. How'd you find your way out of that sort of stuff? And at what age was that?
Yeah, I never, you know, like I said, me personally, I would get involved, you know, because of a good friend, a relative.
Other people, yeah.
Yeah, me personally, that was never my choice, you know, to do anything like that. So I always in defense of somebody else or coming to somebody else's rescue, but me, it was never my choice to, you know.
Yeah.
That type of activity never appealed to me. I thought it was stupid.
Always in defense of someone else.
Yep. Always in defense of someone
like
else.
Like a superhero. Superman.
Super dummy.
Yeah.
It's more like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially when it comes to guns and shit.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's stupid. Not a, yeah. Yeah, it's just dumb.
So when did you like find the gym? And when was it like became like a major part of your life?
1969.
Damn.
1969 in the backyard, started with my big brother Walt. Dad brought us home a set of weights, pig iron. From you know what pig iron is, Bradley?
Yeah, 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 like backyard weight.
Yeah, but yeah. What does it look like?
It's like iron. It's like kind of like browner color. I've seen it in all your videos.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give you a short, and from now on, you're gonna always know pig iron when you see it. When you see a 1-inch hole in the plate,
yeah,
pig iron.
Oh, okay, so it's a smaller.
Yep, it's got to be a 1-inch hole in the plate. If it's you know Olympic size plates, it's 2 inches. But the pig iron's 1 inch. So yeah. If you see that little skinny hole in the plate, pig iron.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got that now. so you in 1969?
Yeah, 19, 10 years old in the backyard. Yeah. My brother got that old rusty set of pig iron from the swap meet. I think it was like 80, 90 pounds. We struggling and shit with it, you know. And then it got light. Just get a little bit more yard sales.
Because at one point, weren't you like super heavy? Like, because I feel like at one point I seen you like 200 something. Because you're not super tall. You were like, what were you, like 250?
I was 325. Yeah, I competed as a super heavyweight.
You were 325 pounds?
Absolutely. Competed as a super heavyweight, yep.
And so, obviously, everyone always likes to ask you this question in the fitness industry in general, but you weren't natural.
Huh?
You were natural.
Yes.
You're 100%. Still natural.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And you had a world record curl for a long time, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people need to take a look at, you know, nobody believes in what I tell them is natural, but they all have to do is take a look at me, you know, even when I was supposedly in great, fantastic bodybuilding shape, I would not win any contest. I would not win. There was, I mean, I won in the natural athletic bodybuilding association. It was natural back then. Yeah. I could do okay against natural guys. But if I was to compete in a contest that didn't have, they would laugh me off stage.
Yeah,
I had one vein in my right bicep, and that was it. You know, I'd be like, oh, he's got to be on stage. Because I had a pretty good vein in my right bicep.
Well, it's because you were so strong, I think.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't think it's really unheard of for some guys.
Yeah.
To be stronger than other guys.
For sure.
I'm sure that, you know, everybody out there can relate to some kid. They grew up in school with every guy. They grew up and there was some guy at that school who was known for being stronger than the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
And my brother, Walt, and myself were always known, you know, from elementary school forward. You know from a very young age if you're stronger than the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
And I know you like to grapple and wrestle with people, but you've known for a long time, they were stronger than most of the kids.
Yeah.
Were, you know, it's, and that's just the, I didn't do it. You know, the good Lord gave you gave that DNA, those genetics, and you're just a little bit stronger than everybody else. But it's, I wasn't the first in my family. My brother Walt was always stronger than me. My dad was strong as hell. And they called my grandpa, Grandpa Mew, because he was strong as a mule.
Yeah. So no, genetics. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. The fitness industry with the whole steroid conversation is always funny because whether or not steroids or not, there are people just genetically who are just better. And like when it comes to fitness shit,
you know that people just totally don't believe that anymore. You know, that was the when I was growing up, that was normal. I thought everybody was drug free.
Yeah,
and even the guys I seen in the magazine, you know, Steve Reeves, Larry Scott, Dave Draper. Cats like that, I thought they were, you know, all natural. I never thought about anything like that. I saw these guys got to be, you know, drug fiend. I just wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Were those some of your like first inspirations?
Oh yeah, definitely. Larry Scott. They had this show that used to come on TV called The Million Dollar Movie. And Larry Scott would come out and he'd introduce the movies. The Hercules movies with Steve Reeves. Ah, shit, me and my brother would run to the TV, man. Oh, Hercules is coming on. We run to the TV, we didn't want to miss it. Reg Park was also a Hercules movie. Well, a lot of the people who listen to you probably ain't gonna know who the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, but it's...
But yeah, that's the history, you know. That's where we came when I grew up, hearing stories about my grandpa, my dad. My grandpa pulled a wagon full of wood, paper wood, they call it, out of a ditch that the mules couldn't pull out of the ditch. And I hear stories like that. My dad pulled a tree out of the ground. I hear stories like that. You hear that kind of stuff growing up, then, you know, geared towards strength. And a favorite story, my dad was a preacher. Favorite story in the Bible is the story of Samson. And I got older, I named my son.
So yeah.
There he is sitting right there. You know, that was my favorite story. I said,
do you want to get on here? Would you mind? Is that okay?
Yeah, no, he's fine.
Yeah, come on here. That mic's working, right? Just make sure. Just check it.
So I'm going to name my boy Samson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because he was there. We were at the Fit Expo after I'd taken a photo with you. Mm-hmm. And we went to this, there was like a punching bag thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he was there. I mean, I know he was there, but I think he got the record on hitting the bag. Yeah. And he was standing there. One of my buddies was like, slap me, like before he got ready. You saw it, right? Before he was going to go do the bag. And I was like, at first I was like, no, I don't really want to do it. And he came back and he was like, no, do it. And I slapped him and he almost got knocked out.
What?
I just slapped him so quick. But I didn't even think I hit him that hard. But yeah, he saw it. But he had the record though. He had the record for the punch, the strongest punch.
He can hit. That's for sure. I mean, you know, you got a podcast. You do other shit too. I see.
Yeah, I have fun. I have fun, man.
And one of the things I think that blew you up was asking these UFC fighters.
Yeah.
Hey, you think I could take you? I see.
I want to ask you, in your prime. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, buddy.
In your prime, who would win a street fight, me or you? In my prime, in your prime.
Oh, my God. Bradley, I would crush you. I would whoop your on the way to a fight.
I feel like I got the range on you, though.
Yeah. You got the range on me. All that go out the door when you get hit hard enough. Range, so, everything. You get all about your range and how powerful and strong you are, all that. I knock you about them clean tennis shoes you got on, man.
You think would you tackle or just go for a strike?
Oh, I would hit you so hard till your Fruit of the Looms would fall down. I'm having fun, but just like you, you have some training. I had some training also.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. I mean, brute strength. With a little athletic ability, can overcome a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I trained to be a professional wrestler for a while, and they had, I walked in off the street being able to do a lot of things that, you know, guys, they've been training a while.
Right.
But that raw strength and some athletic ability overcomes a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to wrestle two or three guys at the same time because this one guy, it was not enough of a challenge.
Yeah.
And it was just because of raw power.
Yeah. Would you get winded though soon, right?
I like the fact, I like that you asked me that because me and Joe Rogan used to go back and forth. He said, all the muscle guys, they get gassed out real fast. And that's not always the case.
Yeah.
Me and Joe would go back and forth. I mean, it's always an exception to every rule.
For sure.
Herschel Walker. I mean, fucking dynamo, running over people and all this shit. Muscular as hell. Endurance up the ass. And it's the same, you know, boxers. There's some boxers. Ken Norton never had a problem with his gas tank. Mike Weaver never had a problem with his gas tank. Yoel Romero,
Yeah.
It just depends.
But do you think it's something you have to train, though, to have?
No, yes, of course, training helps. But if you were born more muscular, more just built, some cats are just born, go all the way back to Jim Thorpe, the great American Indian Olympic athlete. He was just superior built.
Right.
Than the rest of the men of that era. And if God gives you that superior build, he's going to give you the stuff to support it. The gas tank and the endurance. It's not, if your muscles were God-given, you're going to be able to function a lot better than if they were just built in the gym.
I see what you're saying.
Yes, if you just went to the gym and got all your muscles just from lifting weights and just, then okay, Joe Rogan, then you'll gas out. But if you're just a naturally built cat, naturally more muscular, naturally more built than the Bo Jackson, you're just you know him, you went to school with him, there was some guy in your school, in your class, who was just naturally more athletic, naturally bigger, naturally strong, and could run his ass off, that guy is going to have a good gas.
Yeah. I'm assuming like even the people who are the top in the sports like UFC or boxing, they probably, before they even got into it, were probably somewhat gifted in that regard.
Absolutely.
And then the training obviously excels it to the craziest degree. Yep.
That's absolutely right. I guarantee you that, you know, and I talked to, you had the chance to interview quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And they were more athletic, I'm sure, than the rest of the guys when they walked in the gym.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right, guys, quick interruption for the podcast, Manscaped. Yes, I've talked about it before, but I got to talk about it again. Guys, right now, as you can tell, I have not used the clippers or the trimmers in a long time. It's because I'm going to get a haircut. But when I'm not, like in between my haircuts, I always have used these products, the Manscaped shavers, the clippers. Honestly, I might even go do it before I leave the house because I'm such a mess right now. But do not underestimate the feeling or doing like the self-care stuff. And Manscaped has everything you guys need in order to do that stuff. Anything from like body wash to beard trimming to nose trimming, which, you know, is another one that I struggle with sometimes. But listen, I'm getting better. But they have everything you need, right? And right now, if you guys, you can go to manscaped.com, insert code RAWTALK, get 20% off of everything, including free shipping. They have, like I said, anything you need for self-care, cleaning yourself, washing yourself, maintaining your, you know, your private parts, everything to keep you nice and clean so that you feel best, you perform the best. Do not skip it. Go to Manscaped right now. Put in code RAWTALK. Get 20% off your entire thing right now. Let's get back to this podcast. How old are you?
I'm 28.
28, right on. So you've been training for how long?
13 years now.
Has he been training you? Like, has he helped you? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
You have a lot of natural strength. I know you bench crazy numbers. I've seen
my best was 505.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible. Just I think it was like my best.
It is body weight.
You know, yeah, what was your body weight?
I was 237.
Yeah, you were lighter than me. I did it at 260, so you're strong.
Thank you.
So what, like, I guess in regards to your son, do you want him to do what you've done? Like, as far as not what you've done specifically, but in the fitness space, like, do you want him to make content? Are you encouraging that? Are you, like, wanting that for him? Or is that something?
My number one desire for my son and all my kids is to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what they do as long as they're happy.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. He, out of all the kids, decided.
Yeah.
You know, he's following me to the weight room and stuff when he was a little kid, and he decided that's the path he wanted to take.
Yeah.
But I've been just as happy, you know, if he was baseball, play football, or as long as he wasn't sitting around doing nothing. But he chose it, so that's, I'm very proud of him, very proud.
And you love training, obviously. You love doing it.
Absolutely. Oh, man. 7 days a week.
I thought I'd never find anybody that loved, was more of an iron addict than me.
Yeah.
But if there was anybody, it's him. That's for sure.
What do you think it really takes to be great at weightlifting, to be great at training?
Obsession. To be great at anything, Bradley Martin, obsession is a necessity.
Do you think an obsession for things, because I could definitely relate when I look back on, you know, all the content, all the stuff that I've done, it was like an obsession where I had this conversation actually last night where even when I had it, the thing that I was working for, I wasn't even so aware that I had it because I was more focused on getting more of it.
Yep.
I feel like that's the sort of obsession you have to have when it comes to anything.
You're absolutely right. If you want to be the best, I mean, not the runner up or close contender, if you want the top pedestal to be number one at anything, obsession is a necessity. A lot of people say it's a bad word or you shouldn't be obsessed. It's just pick your obsession right. But obsession, if you want to be the number one, the epitome, I am the motherfucking one that you heard about, then obsession is a necessity.
Yeah. Do you think, just like genetics, do you think that's something that's God-given or something that can be created?
Obsession?
Yeah.
I think it's God-given itself. I think in order to, that type of personality, that type of drive, you can't teach it.
Yeah.
The people that have no drive whatsoever are the ones that piss me off the most.
Yeah.
When
you talk like about that kind of stuff, from my perspective, I just don't understand what else would you be doing if you weren't obsessed about something, man. You know?
Yeah, I went to China and I was giving a seminar and boy, I was talking about obsessing. I was telling me, you know, if you want to be this, you have to be, same thing I just said, you have to be obsessed. And this one lady stands up and she says, so, I mean, but what if you have no obsession? What if you, you know, just don't have anything you care about that much? Boy, it really took everything I had to not, you know, I wanted to say, well, just take your damn ass home, you know what I mean? But I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you don't have anything? And ain't nothing, there's nothing on earth that you are compassionate about. See, first start with something that you are compassionate about. I know you must have something that you're compassionate about. She said, nope, I sure don't. Ooh, you are in the wrong seminar, young lady.
So how do you find it? How do you find it? Because I'm sure there's people out there who go like I want this, but I don't know if I'm like really about it. How do you find the thing, do you think?
See, this is where that you asked me, do you have to be born with it?
Yeah.
And my answer was yes, I believe so, because some people can't find it because it's just not in them.
Yeah.
To, you know, obsession is just, it's just not that, nothing is that serious to them. Nothing. Yeah. I just can't see myself putting everything into something. I can't see myself desiring something that much. The reason that I'm number one, the reason I'm, because you don't want it as bad as I want it. You don't desire it as bad as I. You won't go as far as I'm willing to go. That's why I'm number one. I had a whole speech where I'd be going like, and if it's not there, if it's just not there, you don't. Yeah, there's nothing that I am compassionate enough about to go to any lengths to obtain it. And, you know, that's something you have to be born with. And it's just, it was from a little kid. I knew I was obsessed. I knew I had, and little kids usually can tell. Yeah, I'm not sure. I used to say to myself when I'm 4 or 5 years old, I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I'm going to be the best in the fucking planet.
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing because I can relate. Like I remember being young and always feeling like there has to be more.
Absolutely.
There has to be more than what I'm doing. Like I know there's more for me. This is back when I was like, must have been 12 when I first started thinking about this stuff. And then I found the gym and I remember telling my mom like, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I'll never forget this conversation I had with my mom. She was like, like the gym's cool. And you know, me and your dad, we used to love it. And, you know, but you know, maybe you won't be so into it in a little bit. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I remember she was like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. And now it's like I talked to her now and she's like, damn, you really meant that.
Yeah.
So I guess it is a thing that it's weird. This just the conversation around, we were talking about steroids, but then talking about being natural and just genetics in general, how certain people just are built and wired differently.
Absolutely.
To like go towards success. But I think maybe there's just, I think maybe people sometimes pick a path that is not so genuine and true to them. That's why they can't find the obsession for it. Back to the thing we said earlier about just seeing, oh, this guy does it, I'm going to do it. And, but it's not like genuinely true to you.
Yep. Yeah. Copycat, imitation, I'm just, I'm going to do what he does.
Yeah.
And, you can't, your obsession is fake. I want to be just like that guy. But if it doesn't come from within, it's you. It's not yours. You're just trying to steal it from somebody else, and it's bullshit. Yeah.
So, Samson, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is like the number one thing you think that you take forward that you've learned from your father?
Just hard work.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, and the obsession was just passed down to me, and I feel like that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I'm like, there'll never be another person ever in existence that could possibly be as obsessed as me. I just thought it was.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
When you
say that, I'm like, nah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah, nobody can, it's impossible to out desire me, out want me, out work me. Those things just can't be done.
Yeah.
And then this guy comes along. I said, Samson, he's going to miss a workout. I can't believe he's going to miss a workout. 2-3 in the morning, me and his mom laying in bed, we hear bing, 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 clang, clang, chink, chink. I'm like, what the? I look out in the backyard. 2-3 in the morning, he's out there hitting me. I'm not going to miss. That kid is, his obsession every bit as great as mine.
Yeah, it's dope, man.
I thought that was an impossibility.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's genetics, another example of it. Oh, I want to ask this about you. You had a heart transplant.
Yes.
Since we last talked. You had a heart attack, what, in 2015?
18.
2018?
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't you have something in 2005?
Yeah, I sure did. In 2005, I had they replaced my aortic valve.
So had you struggled? Had you had issues with your heart for a while?
Everybody on my mom's side of the family have had heart issues. My mom, all 9 of her brothers and sisters passed away from heart problems. My older brother that I was telling you about earlier passed away from heart problems.
Yeah.
So we are genetically inclined for heart problems. So, 2005, I had my first open heart surgery, replaced my aortic valve, and it was doing pretty good. And, lasted all the way up until 18 when I had that.
The other people that passed away from heart problems, did they pass away from the first heart attack?
First heart attack? No, some survived the first one. I survived the aortic open heart surgery, replacing the aortic valve with a metal valve.
That
lasted
crazy.
Me 13 years until, I had the heart attack in 18.
Do you think part of, because the mind's such a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
Do you think part of your ability to recover and come back and continue on is because of the obsession?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
That's such an interesting thing.
Yeah, undoubtedly. The mind is super powerful, right?
Yeah. Because I feel like at some point, like obviously you can't go, I'm having a heart attack, I'm not going to die because I'm so willingly not going to die.
No.
But because it could take you regardless. But I just find it so interesting that you've gone through so much of that and you're still here.
You're still
sharing it. You're still talking about it.
Definitely.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And like you just said, you're not going to be like, I'm going to will myself through this heart attack. Because when it hit me, I thought that was definitely it. I'm sitting on the couch, Samson, just like now.
Yeah.
Just like we're sitting on the couch. I had this heart attack. Samson's sitting right. I thought it was it. I thought I was gone. And, I apologize to him for for leaving. I thought I was leaving. I said, I'm leaving, you know, a lot sooner than I thought I would.
Like, while it was happening?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, you know, that dad's not going to make it. I really wanted to see, you know, grow up and stuff, but I'm not going to make it. And he was, this nut says, he said, you're not going to die. You are not going to die. And I thought for sure I wasn't going to see, you know, the next day. There's no way. I didn't think I was going to see the next few minutes because it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. And I could barely get little tiny sips of air. I'm like, man, I ain't no way I'm making it through this.
So you were sitting right next to me? Yes. What was that like? From your perspective, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I don't know. It was just, I literally can just feel, you know, God in the room. That's the best way I can explain it. It was a crazy event, but I knew he was gonna pull through. I actually put my hand on his lap.
Yeah. You just felt it.
Oh yeah, I felt confident.
You weren't like scared.
No. I sat right there, put my hand on his lap. I just told him to keep talking to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you're going to make it through. You're not going anywhere. I literally told him.
I'm like,
he looked up at me. You know, his eyes were kind of like rolling back, like he was going out. He looked up at me. You know, one eye was closed. He looked up at me like, I believe you.
Wow. He was so positive.
I still have the pictures.
He was so sure.
I thought it was going to be the last time, you know, I potentially saw him.
I was like, man.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, no, man. But a whole lot of crazy things happened that night and through my, you know, the rest. When I got to the emergency room. By the time the ambulance got there, Samson had convinced me that I wasn't really. I said, I got a chance, you know, because he was so positive.
He's like, you're good. Just walk it off. You're good.
And they brought the stretcher in. I said, I can walk. I'll walk to the ambulance. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I can walk, man. I stood up. Yeah, convinced me that I wasn't good. And walked to the ambulance. And I got there. But it was, you know, it was still, the elephant was still. And I get to the emergency room. And a little lady. I still don't know if that was an angel or not. Little lady comes in and she says, CT, you can't die because too many people are dependent on you. For me, I was ready to go. I'm like, man, you know, I did the best I could. I tried to, you know, be as good a person as I could to help them. But I'm like, okay, the way this is feeling, I said, if this is going to continue, I'm ready to go. Just go ahead and I'll see moms and get to see my brother. Let me just go ahead and take me out. She said, too many people are depending on you. And for me, I'm ready to go. But when she said other people was depending on me, then I could fight. So for me, I'm like, okay, I'm okay. I can go. But when she said, too many people are depending on you, I got to fight. Got to fight for them.
It's funny because the story we shared earlier is about, it's always like about for other people.
Yeah.
Have you lived your life like that, like always?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like in service to family and service to friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the best way to be.
I think that's what life's all about ultimately at the end of the day.
Yep. I think that's why I'm still here.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. That's why I'm glad I got you on here to talk about it. Because the, you know, we talked about how everyone kind of copies to be this or be that because like they think they're gonna have riches or whatever it is. But ultimately, like, it's cool, but it doesn't make you great.
No,
you know what makes you great is how you impact and how you change, how you shape other people.
That's it. It's a whole bunch of rich.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right, Brad.
So. You had a full transplant now at this point, right?
Yes.
And do you know whose heart that was?
Only thing I know about her.
Okay. So you got a woman's heart.
Yes. Only thing I know about her.
So you probably can't bench as much now.
No.
That's true.
That's fucked up.
But it ain't because it's a woman's heart.
No, I know.
Women don't.
I know. It's fucked up.
Hey, Bradley said
this. I fucked up. It's a shitty joke.
Sorry, guys.
They gonna be picking up and down in front of your house, man.
Sorry.
Bradley said that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, I have a woman's heart. I know. I found that the doctor was not supposed to tell me, and I know that she was close to my age.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing, you know, I know about her. I wrote a letter to the family and never got a response. But yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Such a crazy experience, a heart transplant. Because I remember I saw pictures and like you had your face was like swollen. Because is it because of the medicine that they?
Yeah, a bunch of prednisone, but they give you a a ton of medication, and the side effects from that medication sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've worked all the way through all that though.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna be running no marathons or wrestling Bradley Martin, but yeah, yeah. You know, I'm still here.
So what do you think you have left to do? What else do you really want to do? Oh, what else, man, is like most important to you right now?
The most important thing is help as many people as I can, because like I said, I think that's the reason why I'm still here.
Yeah,
I want to take care of my family. That's super high on my priority list. That's what I created Iron Addicts for.
Yeah,
I was trying to take care of my family and leave them something once I'm gone.
Yeah,
but helping as many people, that's the reason I believe I'm here.
And how do you think you can most help as many people? Like, what do you think you'd do it with?
Well, anytime I have an opportunity, I've wanted to go inside the prison system for a long time, and we were able to do that recently. And you know, the prisoners went to a maximum security prison, and the prisoners were like,
which one?
The first thing they told me, Brad, was that people have forgotten about us. People have forgotten about us. Even our families. I've been in there so long. If families don't come see them anymore, you figure 20 years behind bars, 30 years behind bars, you're gonna lose a lot. And they're like, we appreciate you coming so much. Because people have written us off. They just don't care about us anymore. Those are the throwaways from society, and people just have forgotten about it. And man, I was right where I wanted to be, right at home. I felt more at home in that maximum security prison than I did many Sundays in my dad's church.
Why do you think many that is?
Because the worst of the worst people that I've ever met were not behind bars. They were in church every Sunday. Absolutely.
That's tough. Yeah. Well, but what do you think is just like, I don't know, people who are, self-righteous?
What makes them absolutely the worst is because these are the people who are supposed to be setting the example for the rest of us poor sinners. These are the people that are condemning the rest of us to hell. These are the people who are, setting the moral example and telling everybody how they're supposed to live. And in the meantime, they f*** somebody's wife.
Yeah.
Or, it's absolutely the worst of the worst when you're supposed to be the example how to do things right.
Yeah.
And you're wrong as fuck.
Why do you think that's such a common thing, though, for humans? Because that's like, it's always, I've seen this so many times in my life. Absolutely. It's always the people who will be like, will also tell you you're a bad person.
Yep.
When they're doing the most.
The most fucking up. And that's what makes them the worst. Because, the guys behind bars, I fucked up. I did this. I did that. Yeah. I got caught. They're honest about it. They tell you, hey. But the person that's supposed to be leading the example, leading by example, condemning you for everything that you could possibly, I mean, so many people got me roasting in hell and ain't even funny, Brad. I mean, they hear me say, oh man, they got me on a rotisserie, the highest flames, bro. They got the oven set on the highest flame. They got me cooking, man.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah, I'm terrible. If that's, according to them, and the guy sent me a book recently, and he wrote a nice letter. What do you want? Oh, CT, you're doing wonderful things. You're doing this. You're doing that. And if you would just get your soul right with God, That's how he ended it. If you would just get your soul right with God, then everything would be wonderful. And I'm like, you don't know me. You see a guy on YouTube or Instagram or something saying some bad words, and you feel like, you know, you're my judge and my jury. How can you say, be somebody's judge and jury, and you don't know them?
Yeah.
They looking at you on Instagram or YouTube or something. Hey, Brad, and they got you all sized up, Bradley. They saying, oh, Bradley, they talk about you like they know you.
Yeah, I've been there. I've
like
been
they're
many
your
times.
Friend. Yeah. Like they've been coming over, sitting down for f-ing dinner, and you guys been conversating, you know, for 20 years. That's how they talk about you.
Yeah.
Like they know you. They don't know you. They have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
And to talk to you, you know, like, you know, they've been a family friend or at least close to you. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of tuning it out. Cause I don't know, I guess people are so obsessed with, I guess, cause of social media with other people's lives. And like you said, even not just from the church aspect, but just in general, like persecuting and saying what you're doing is bad when like oftentimes, like, you know, their own closets all, and it's like, yo, I think people are more comfortable, especially when it comes to like certain figures in a space, to go like, oh, let me like shoot my shots at you because I don't want to clean my own shit up.
Yeah,
and it's just more comfortable for me to reprimand you than change or look at myself.
Totally ignore, you know, their own situation, or I don't know if they're blind to their own inequities or. Just don't acknowledge him. My dad was, you know, the biggest holiness of hellfire bitch. I mean, he had me roasting too. and, you know, he was several different sisters and, you know, and deacons' wives and whatnot. And I didn't find out I had a younger sister until after my mom passed away. I'm 50 some years old. All of a sudden I got a sister that I never knew about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, yeah, I always, you know, we never got along, but I found out even more after he passed away.
Yeah.
That he was doing, you know, and I'm like, man, this church folks. And I seen it, you know, since I grew up in church, I seen it time and time again. Preachers would come before they would stop. Before they come to church, they had to stop by Sister Sally's house, you know, before they would make it to church. I'm like, man, this is horrible. So, I really didn't want anything to do with church when I got to be.
Did it ever affect your, like, connection with God?
No.
Yeah.
Church, God, two different things.
Yeah, I totally feel that because I had a really hard time with just God in general and just the belief.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it started with church because I grew up in a Catholic church,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking like, why are we doing this? It has to be this certain way. And I always felt like, you know, you know, and they're like, take the money, and they want to
take.
I was always like, does God really want this? Like, I feel like this isn't a God thing. This is like a human thing where I can like get some cash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember being a really little kid and being like, I don't think God wants this.
Yeah.
And then you know, as I grew up, and then you find out how much money, you know, the churches have, and how much it's like they could fix all these problems, mm-hmm, like, but they mm-hmm. don't. And it's just interesting. It just becomes like a human, you know, it's a human vice while like leveraging religion to like capture almost money.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, always tell people I'm not religious because religion, you know, I associate religion and church all together. But do I believe in God? Oh, I would match my faith against anybody's who's in church every Sunday and, you know, got me roasting in hell. I'll match my faith because I've been in the situation to where your faith has to be really tested.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to see what some of those people who got me roasting in hell would do if their life was on the line. Would you still, I mean, would your faith be strong enough to get you through dying a few times? That's what I want. Would your faith be strong enough that while you got me roasting in hell, would your faith hold up under the stress of damn near dying? Would you still hold on to what you're talking about in the face of death? That's what I want to know. That's a real test of faith. But, you know, like you say, the internet people got me roasting in hell and, yeah, you know, telling me, yeah.
So how do you maintain the faith even in a place like that?
And you went right. Really, if you are really real, it's no problem. If you really believe in God, and the only way you really know is by having a personal relationship with Him. I don't need your pastor to interpret to me what God's message is, because it's so simple for me to talk to Him my damn self.
Yeah,
I don't have to ask, you know, Reverend who or pastor or bishop, nobody, to talk to God for me. Your priest, I don't have to ask your priest to talk to God for me. That's what my knees is for. I get on my knees and pray to God myself. I don't need an interpreter or a translator or anything for that. I talk to God myself. And when I talk to God myself, I ain't got no interference, and I know for sure that my relationship with Him is real, because it's been tested. I'm laying there between that. Hey, God, is up to you, man, whether I make it or not. If I don't make it, it's totally... Well, if I make it through this, I don't make it through this, I still believe in you. I love you, and I'm going to serve you the rest of my days, however long they are, a few hours or 30 more years. I'm going to serve you because we got this where I can talk to you. So that's
beautiful. I love it, man. Damn. Yeah, I struggled with it for a long time. I think because I probably fell in the category of someone who felt like sort of hurt about like my circumstances, mm-hmm, and kind of like just, damn, why did this happen to me? Why is my life this way? But I think like looking back on all that stuff now, the perspective I have is like this was all supposed to be a part of my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like all the stuff. I mean, truthfully, I it's another conversation that I was having the other day was like, I think people are so focused on our lives and like whatever we're doing or the things we have and it being like some perfect picture. And it's just so unrealistic. Like we're supposed to be hurt. We're supposed to feel pain. We're supposed to like not be great all the time because that is what life is. Because at some point, all of that's gone, right?
Yep.
And it's like, people are so resistant to pain. People are so resistant to like anger. Like, oh, I everything is like, everyone thinks like, I don't know, as if something's going to be, you know, if I do enough of this, then I won't have to worry about anything. If I do this, then everything will be good. And it's like, that's not a real, like, possibility. That's not what life is. Like, you have to be just as accepting of the good as you, of the stuff that's happening to you. And so what you're saying is, like, even the moments of, like, literal death, you're like, I'm giving it up to God, and I believe whatever is supposed to happen is supposed to happen.
He's in charge. How can you not stress about possibility of having open heart surgery? Why aren't you stressed out? You could die, man. Don't you know that? You could die. Yes, I do know that. And I also know that me stressing and worrying about it is not going to change a damn thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave it in the hands of somebody who can do something about it. I'm going to leave everything in God's hand because I have the faith to believe that if He wants me to live, I'll live. And if He don't want me to live, then I won't live. I have that much faith.
Yeah. When did you really start to develop that? Like, because it's kind of along the same lines of like, get without completely just giving up, because it's just a belief, right? It's a faith. Like, when did you really start to develop that in your life? Was that when you were younger or when you were older?
Absolutely. Absolutely. when I was a kid, you know, I used to hate every evening. I would hate to hear my dad's keys in the front door, because he was like a time bomb. I never knew, you know, what it was going to be today. I mean, is he going to find what excuses he's going to use to beat my ass today? I did a lot of praying as a kid. Man, oh God, please just let me get through this. You know, I did a whole lot of praying, and a whole lot of prayers was answered. So I had prayers answered from, you know, being a little kid, all my faith was strong from even, you know, 5, 6 years old, I'm praying. So I was,
so the prayers that you were seeing that stuff come to fruition, like
yeah,
as a
yeah man, I hey, don't let them kill me. That would be I was like, you know, one of my number one. Hey, please God, don't let this crazy zombies kill me.
Yeah,
you know, and I made it through, man. Made it through my time.
Because he would hit you, beat you a lot.
Yeah. Now most of the time, he just beat us with a leather belt or you know, water hose or something like that. But every once in a while, it would be close fist, you know, broken nose, broken cheekbone. Yeah.
Did you deal with that a lot?
More than I wanted to, for damn sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we got our whoopings was quite frequent. A regular ass whooping, you know, what they would call child abuse now, but a regular ass whooping with a belt, or, you know, that was, you know, that's pretty regular.
What's your opinion on that? Like, obviously not beating the out of your kids, but as far as, like, you know, reprimanding your kids, like, do you think there is some necessity?
Definitely. I think beating is not necessary.
Yeah.
Definitely kids have to have some guidelines or they will run smooth over your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did, give them some. Did you grow up with, like, how was he as a father in that sense?
He didn't beat me or anything like that. He was really, by him looking at me a certain way, I already knew this.
You're like,
oh yeah. Once those eyes got big. Yeah. I, you know, calmed down.
And that one over there, I used to beat her all the time.
The eyes would do the beating.
This one, you were serious, like, nah, look, motherfucker.
Hey, you can carry away now.
You say, be cool.
I feel like there's. I'm not saying people can beat their kids or hit their kids, but they're definitely, what you're saying is true. Like, because I think nowadays, like, I don't know, I see videos, I see on the internet where I'm like, man, kids just run crazy.
Yeah,
because I think now everyone just goes like that. Instead of dealing with their kids, they're like, just put this in their hand and they're like, just trying. Like,
yeah,
it's just weird because like we're not. I don't know. People aren't learning certain. Because I also feel like kids grow up and they get on the internet and there's same people who will just be reckless with things they say and the way that they treat people. Because like maybe they didn't get like smacked. Like, yo, what are you doing? Like.
Yeah,
it's an interesting time for sure.
Oh, I wish my dad would have said, yeah, time out.
Yeah, or here's an iPad, right? Yeah. Fucking do the...
Yeah, time out, go in your room. Oh my God, that would have been heavy, you know what I mean?
So do you think the way that you were raised then a little more brash like that helped shape you though to who you are?
Everything that happened helps it. Just like you said, all of that, all the stuff, you know, when you were questioning the good Lord, and the good Lord said, hey, Bradley, I had to take you through this. You had to go through this so you could get on that microphone, somebody could hear your story, and it'll help the fuck out of them.
Yeah. It's always interesting because when you're in it, it never feels
feel like that, nope.
Yeah, it feels like it's like you're alone.
Yeah, but it took all that to make you who you are. Took all of every last bit of the ass whoopings, the five flat lines, army, all of that, church, all of that. It took all of it to make C.T. Fletcher who C.T. Fletcher is.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all perspective, right? Like, you see it now. Did you see it when you were going through it?
Shit, no. Yeah. No, I didn't. I had no idea. You know, I was... The heart, the first time when I had open heart surgery, man, I was like, why? Why? I mean, why? Because I was, you know, I was still, when I first started, the problems started getting really bad, I had just come to the greatest bench press in America, and I was still on top of the strength world, and they were like, the doctors told me before that last contest, hey, you know, you could die right there because your valve was so weak. If you're trying to lift 700 pounds and it could destroy the valve, you could break right there on stage and you die right in front of all those people.
Yeah, from the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Doc, if I got to go.
That'd be the way.
Yeah. See, that's the best fucking way. You couldn't write a better scenario than that. Doc, this is wonderful. I said, yeah, you telling me, man, this is music to my ears. And then to, you know, go and have the valve repaired. And just, I was like a skeleton after that surgery.
Yeah.
I was 325, came out of the hospital, went 195. So I felt like a skeleton.
Holy. And so what is that like? What is that like mentally?
It is, you know, it was a hell of a mental test. And I'm like, man, I feel like my brother was, my brother sitting next to me, and all I could see was how, you know, pity. He was pitying me big time. He felt, because he couldn't even understand what I was saying.
Yeah.
I was so much medication, I'm weak. And he's like, damn, and he was, I think he was crying. He was like, man, you know, you look horrible. Like, yeah, I know, I feel horrible. But it's something else. It was a real, and I'm like, God, if this is going to continue, please, I ask God to take me out. Yeah, if I have to live the rest of my life like this, please just kill me.
So when did it start to kind of come back? Like how long after the first replacement?
Yeah, the first, okay, that was in 2005, and I would say, by 2000, it took 3-4 years for me to start to get back. And then by the time I got on 2012, by the time I got on YouTube, I had totally changed a different way of working out.
Yeah.
Before I was powerlifter, you know, short reps and a lot of heavyweight, couldn't do a lot of heavyweight anymore. So I just went back to the original style, backyard style.
Yeah,
which is we just try to outdo each other all
like
the
time. Failure.
Yeah,
complete so, failure. You know, yeah.
We're gonna keep going until somebody gives up, and I ain't giving up. Well, I ain't giving up either. We just go back and forth.
It's just crazy. Even after the heart stuff, is like,
oh yeah,
still doing it.
Oh yeah, I'm still trying to lift weights, man. So you know, I'm just that ignorant.
You probably do it to the day you die, huh?
Oh, I'm definitely gonna do it to the day I die. There's no question about it. Yep.
I love that, man. I love it.
No question.
What do you think in life, what do you think are the most important things to focus on when you're going towards any sort of goal or?
Focus on, if you have a goal, I think the number one thing is not let what anybody says dissuade you or throw you off track. From that goal. I mean, I don't damn what, you know, the most, like I always say, the most encouraging words I ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. I mean, that's the best encouragement I could ever get is for you to tell me I can't do it. Oh, you can't do that.
Yo.
Watch me.
Dude, that's so funny because I remember before I did like a 315 squat on like a hoverboard and it went like super viral.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, you started that.
All that dumb yeah.
Doing each other crazy shit.
I did.
But his own couches.
Yeah. Lifting random shit.
You did that. Right?
But I remember, based on what you just said, I remember literally before I did that, Nadim, my videographer at the time, was like, I was like, yeah, we're going to film this. I have this hoverboard because it was popular at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to try to squat as much as I can. So I'm like, starting with the bar. I did the bar and then I did a plate and I did another plate. And I was like, I'm going to try 315, even though it was like max weight limit on it was like, I don't know. Maybe like 300 pounds on just the thing. And I'm already obviously like 250.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is a really bad idea. And I remember when he said that, I was like, oh, I got to do it then.
Yeah.
I have to do it. If you think it's a bad idea.
Gotta do it.
And then it was like one of the most viral on ESPN all over the place. So it is funny how it is those things that people are like, I don't know. But that's, I guess, the story of the world where it's like most things that are like spectacular or like amazing are always things that people go, that's like, everyone is like, that's not, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then it's done. And everyone goes, oh, wow. Maybe I can do it.
It's only impossible until someone crazy enough comes along and does that shit.
Yeah.
They're like, oh man, don't fucking do that. No. You know, they told Orville and Wilbur Wright the same. You fly. You must be crazy. You guys can't fly.
Yeah. And look at this shit now. That's, it's like, It always comes back to that same thing that I'm thinking about, to like the genetics and just the predisposition to things. It's like there's just people who are just different.
Absolutely. I think that every UFC fighter, every boxer, you know, in combat sports, bare knuckle fighters, whatever, if you are willing to get in there and do that, I think you, first of all, I think you deserve some respect, because everybody can't do it, and everybody's not wired like that, everybody's not built like that. I liked, when I was younger, I liked fighting, but fighting was not my goddamn magnificent obsession.
Yeah.
I had to get in there and try it for myself, because I thought maybe, I said, this might be it. I do enjoy it. I'm like, this might be it. You get in there, and if you do it often enough, you'll find out real fast if this is what I really want to do.
Yeah.
Because all people talk about, I can't wait, I want to do. But if you really, it takes a different type of person to want to fight, be really a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just practice and sparring every day is a job. Getting hit upside your head on a daily basis, it's a job. And everybody ain't cut out for that job.
Yeah.
So I knew after the Ed Parker's International Karate Championships in 1981, this ain't my job. This ain't what I want to do all the time on a full base. Let me go back to lifting weights. So that's
has there, had there been anything else that you tried, professionally or amateur, like besides the fighting?
Fighting, professional, I had my hand at, tried my hand at professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's right.
I loved it. I loved the training. I loved the training because, oh man, it was a body slamming or whatever. I just really enjoyed body slamming people. But when they told me everything was going great, and when they told me that, you know, I'd be in a different city every weekend.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, and I still had little kids, you know, they had to have health insurance. You know, I'm working at the post office, which I hated. And I'm like, man, I would like to be a professional wrestler. Like, so I give it a try and rest. But when they say you're going to be in a different, city every weekend, you ain't gonna have no health insurance. You ain't gonna have this. I was like, oh, this is pretty. I don't know about it. I work at the post office 8-12 hours, whatever. And then I would come home. Then I'd go to wrestling practice. And I'd wrestle. I'd come home. I walk through the door. And that little girl right there would meet me at the door. And like, she,
where the f you been?
Oh, she would wrap around my leg, man. I would walk through the door. She'd wrap around my leg. And I couldn't walk. So yeah, if I had to go any place, I had to drag her across the whole room. She was not getting, she was holding on to my leg until I get to my seat. I'm like, baby, I'm tired. I'm like, nah, I don't care. She was hugged up on my leg, man. But I didn't do the pursuit of wrestling career because I thought I loved everything about it. I said, I can talk. I can slam the hell out of people. This is wonderful. I can make a living doing this. This is wonderful. But no benefits. No benefits.
Yeah, I get
not
it.
Starting out. You know, I guess once you get up to a high enough range, you probably.
I'm just like, imagine you now. Like, what if you just popped in like a little cameo? That'd be sick. Like some WWE.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, I'd like that. I can still cuss.
Yeah. Definitely there. So what's your take on, I don't know how, if you ever talk about this stuff, but like politically, like what's your take on kind of like the state of, I guess the United States in general right now, and how fucking divided it seems like it's been? You think it's, because you've been around a lot longer than I've been around. Do you think it's more divided or less divided than when you were younger?
It's more divided than ever right now, I think.
Which is crazy because you were talking about segregation earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more, you know, it was pretty black and white back then. I mean, you knew exactly, you know, there wasn't no the shit the way it is now, man. That's one thing that I never discuss is politics.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, I'm sure I have some very good friends that have a totally different political outlook than I have,
right?
And in order, and I want to keep them my very good friend. That's why I don't discuss fucking politics with them.
Yeah,
because you know, I think all politicians are full of shit. Now, I can't say that, you know, and I don't think any of them were exemplary examples of how we should be.
Yeah.
You know, all of them.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I'm sorry, but, you know.
But as far as the division, I guess, in the world, right? And not even necessarily politically. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Like, why do you think it's gotten to that point?
Oh, man, because we've gotten away from the basics. The basics. We've gotten strayed so far away from the basic goodness or basic set of rules, and we just, everything is acceptable now. Things that you were unheard of are just commonplace now. I would, you know, when I grew up, it was such a totally different world, and what's happening now seems like not even, you know, when we had movies back in my day of what the future would look like, they were nothing like what the future actually is. You know what I mean? Like, this is so wild. What's acceptable, what's being taught in schools, and what they're trying to get taught in schools.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Crazy. I'm like, man, am I the only one who thinks this is some bull?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of people are just afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, well, you know? Absolutely.
But
yeah.
it is a place where, like, now it's like you said, if everything is like just so acceptable that people kind of lose, I feel like, certain structure.
Yeah.
And then it almost just turns into like a free for all. And then everyone is like, I'm right, you're wrong. It just becomes this like giant pissing contest, and everyone is just feeling like they want to like one up each other or be better or be right, when it's like, dude, this like you said, the basic set of principles that people are getting away from, which is like treat other people just good.
It's absolutely just, but it's the debate over how many genders there are. People are actually debating, how many genders there are.
It's fucking crazy.
I never thought that I would live long enough for it to be a debate.
Yeah.
Over how many genders there are.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the f- are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is this real? I'm looking at it and I'm like, is this real?
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's crazy to think that like certain things being taught in school is like, there's also just certain things that maybe kids should just be focusing on, like school, not like different, you know, like let them grow up and figure that out, this, you know?
Because
the problem with it is like, not that it's 100% a problem, but it's like an adult teaching a kid about something that like they're not even fully aware of within themselves to say, hey, this is it. It's like, yo, that person kind of has to walk their own path to get there, you know? And it's interesting how now it's like,
when them decide, you know, when they should be coloring books like that.
Yeah, learning math and science and
shit.
Yeah,
they want them to goddamn decide, you know, life decisions.
Yeah.
And they're still in elementary school. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is this really happening?
Yeah, and it's crazy because, really, you know, you grew up in a time and it was just so different than that. And now it's at this, and I mean, like, I grew up in this, like, in between of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking at it like, what the happening.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked because I've had conversations with people, and I've talked about this before, where I'll hear stuff, you know, you read about stuff on the internet, but then I've actually met people in real life who are like, hey, my kid was being taught like, literally, I was at the beach, my kid was being taught this, and I was like, oh, that's real. I thought maybe they were just saying that on Twitter to like piss people off, but it's like, this is a real thing that was happening. I was just kind of like, that's, it's just weird. Like, I wonder what the purpose is, like, to just, everyone has sort of like no identity, so that it's like just like this mashup of like, I don't know what the reason of it would be. Like, why would we be going in that direction?
That's perplexing. But if you're a strong person of faith, then of course they're going to place the blame on evil or the devil. And they're going to say that this is his work. And that's, and yeah, shit, I'm not going to be a real, I'm not going to be so fast to disagree with them. When I look for an explanation, that's as good as any.
Yeah.
It's what the this agenda is fucked up.
Yeah. So. I wonder where it all lands. I was really curious about that.
Yeah, that's a damn good question. Where do you go? You think they would draw the line here, and every time you think they're going to draw
it gets further. Yeah.
You know, they keep adjusting it, you know, making it a little, oh, no, that's acceptable. I mean, let's move it up a little bit further.
Yeah.
I think everybody has to draw their own individual lines.
And yeah.
I'm going to take a stand right here, and, you know, that to me, it ain't no whole bunch of different decisions on how many goddamn genders there are. You know, you like me, don't like me, I really don't give a fuck. I think not giving a fuck is a tremendous anxiety reliever.
Yeah.
if you don't give a fuck.
I was listening to an audiobook when I was driving up to go snowboard, but it was, I think it was about the art of not giving a fuck or something.
Yeah, man, it's tremendous. In battling anxiety, just not giving up. Because when you have anxiety, it's a lot of times because you care about something too much, or you're stressing over fixated on something too much. But if you don't give a fuck about a whole lot, that reduces your stress level a lot.
Yeah, and I think it puts in perspective the things that do actually matter.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. Family, like friends, like love.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? That's it. So how many genders do you think it is, Bradley Martin?
It's two. Come on. That's a silly question.
Yeah, no, I wanted you to say it because a lot of people are fucking afraid to say it.
No, I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Two.
Yeah, no. Never been afraid to say it.
Two.
I think it requires more people to kind of speak about it. Because like there are a lot of people who, like you said, because people are afraid of it.
They are afraid.
But like that's a scary thing because that concept in general is like, Are people being taught to forego like their genuine thoughts or beliefs on things because they're afraid to
speak up?
Yeah, and then it's that is the greatest problem I think that we face as a human.
Speak up, yeah.
Afraid to draw, like you said, draw your own lines. Because listen, my line doesn't have to be someone else's line.
Absolutely.
But if I just don't stand on anything, then I'm living for nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. I just think it's interesting. Like anyone go do what you want to do, but man, like it's a weird time when people are afraid to stand and say, hey, this is what I believe, this is what I think.
Especially people in your position with millions of followers.
Yeah.
They're afraid of losing that position or losing. Oh, I can't say that because I'm going to lose 100,000, 200,000 followers. Well, look, it's two genders, and if I lose every last one of them, it's still two genders.
and to be honest, I don't think now. I think a lot more people are starting to feel this sort of same idea where they're like, why have we been sort of coddling to this sort of idea?
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot more people who stand now and say like, hey, like this is how I feel too.
I hope
and
so.
No, there are. Yeah. I do believe that genuinely. Yeah. I've seen it.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Cause yeah, I mean, it's getting crazy where it's like, I mean, I don't know. At one point I was hearing something like someone identified as a tree or something. I'm just like, listen, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But the problem isn't even so much in that. It's when other people are making you feel like you can't believe something because they believe something else. That's where it's like,
because
that concept, if you take that to the farthest degree, is like, then someone can basically say anything. And if we could all get those people to believe it, then we make you all feel like you're wrong when it could be something that's really bad.
Yeah.
If we're just going to fall in line.
Yeah,
and that's not human nature.
Yeah, that's the nature of a sheep to just go along with the crowd.
Man. Yeah, not good.
I always say the best reason not to do something is because every fucking body else is doing it. Right? I think that's the best reason not to do it is because everybody else is fucking doing it. I'm going to do it just because Bradley's doing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it just because everybody else seems to think this is okay. Yeah, think for yourself.
It's the easy road.
Absolutely.
People love it. We're all taught. We've been taught forever now to just take the easy road.
Yeah.
That's just the most common shit, man. Got to change it.
Yep.
Got to start like today.
One podcast at a time.
Yeah. One conversation at a time.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. So I guess one of the last questions I have for you, did you think that your life would be this way?
Absolutely not. I always felt as a young guy that I'd never live to be an old guy.
Why?
I never wanted to.
But you never wanted to live to be an old guy?
Nope. My whole plan as a kid was to grow up, to shoot as high as I possibly could, reach for the stars, hit one of them up, and die. That was my game plan, man. Because, you know, for me, that was the end all be all, to be the best at something. Once I'm, you know, as a kid, I thought it was going to be fighting. I wanted to be the heavyweight champion of the world because my idol was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
So when I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. Once I reach that goal, I can die. Die happy.
So you never thought you were going to be old?
Never.
Damn.
Yeah, never.
But now that you're here.
Yeah.
Is
whole,
it
whole different ball game?
Is it like a little bittersweet?
Oh man, I love being old. This is my absolute favorite time of life.
Why is that?
It's I don't stress about you. I don't stress about a damn thing. When I was young, I had all kind of stress and nerves. All my kids is grown, and I get to play with my grandkids every day. Man, this is early bird special. You can't beat that, man. Being old is wonderful.
Getting those discounts.
Yeah,
let's go.
AARP cards and everything. It's great.
Damn. Yeah. That's beautiful though, man.
Yeah, it's great.
So you're happy the way it's all gone?
Very.
Yeah.
Very happy. Yeah. Everything. Heart transplant, everything. I'm happy about everything.
I love it, man. So what do you want to like leave this on? What do you want to leave this with? What do you want to leave the world with?
If people just, you know, once I'm gone, which, you know, who knows how long that's going to be. If they would just say he was a good dude and he really tried, I'd be happy.
Well, I'd say that about you just based on what I know. I already know that's true.
Good dude. And he really tried. He gave it his all.
Simple, man. Simple, but sweet.
Yeah, that's it.
It's funny how we complicate shit, though.
Yeah.
For so long.
Now, hey, I want to say this on your practice, just in case, you know, everybody out there witnesses. When I die, I don't want a fancy funeral. I want a plain pine box, and I want a mule to pull it to the cemetery. Other than that, I don't want no big old fancy coffin like that. That's what I want. And so if you see anything different,
they did it wrong.
Somebody didn't do what I wanted, man. Yep.
I love it, man. That's well, it. I really appreciate you coming today, genuinely. Hey,
thank you for having me back.
And you've been a really big piece of the fitness industry, and I hope you know that, like, genuinely.
It's still amazing to me, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah. You started a whole wave and you know, created a whole culture, and it's beautiful to see, man. And I'm happy that, like, you've been able to pass it on and give it to your son and give it to your family and, you know, give it to everyone out there who's watched for so long. And I know a lot of people love and respect you. So I'm glad that you came on, and I appreciate your time, genuinely.
Appreciate the hell out of you.
Yeah, man. All love.
All love.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for coming, man. For real.
Yeah, thank you.